You just don't get it, do you?
You just don't get it, do you?
You don't get it, do you?
You don't get it, do you?
You just don't get it, do you?
You just don't get it, do you?
You just don't get it, do you?
You still don't get it, do you?
You don't get it, do you?
Oh, you just don't get it, do you?
Huh? You don't get it, do you?
Friday is the day for weekend movie releases here on The Takeaway. And here with me is Rafer Guzman, our resident film critic and film critic for Newsday. Hi, Rafer.
Hey, Todd.
We got three movies to get to. If people are expecting trivia, which they might be, we got to skip it today, unfortunately. We're a little short on time, but you have a Woody Allen movie called Cafe Society. I love a Woody Allen period piece. This one takes place in the 30s. Here's a clip.
Well, if I was your boyfriend, I would not travel. Or if I did, I would take you with me. I hope he knows how to kiss you and all the rest.
It's between us.
All right, that sounded like Jesse Eisenberg, who I loved in Zombieland, and Kristen Stewart, who was amazing in The Runaways.
That's right. Yeah, they're both Jesse Eisenberg plays a Jewish kid from New York who comes to Hollywood. Surprise, surprise. Kristen Stewart is the lovely assistant to a big shot producer that Jesse Eisenberg meets. Yeah, this is a period piece. It's no match for Midnight in Paris. It doesn't quite have the charm and the sparkle of that piece. But
and I love Bullets Over Broadway. Some people
I love Bullets Over Broadway. Yeah. Great, great movie. You know, this is not going to stand up to those movies. But, you know, Woody Allen, he draws these characters in very broad scale. Sketches and they work, and even though the characters are often inconsistent and contradictory, they seem alive to me. And Woody Allen does that bittersweet kind of tone better than anyone I can think of, and this movie's got that, and I liked it a lot.
And so that means so often with these Woody Allen movies, even if you say, oh, it's not Annie Hall, it's not Bullets Over Broadway, you're still probably going to enjoy it.
By the standards of late period Woody Allen, I think this is above average, I would say.
And now let's go to a sequel. This is a big sequel. I'm going to back announce this one, play you the clip, because this is one of the biggest part twos probably we've seen in a long time.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
I'm sorry. My uncle owns a funeral home, not an enterprise rent-a-car.
Hope you checked to see there wasn't a body in the back.
I don't really know.
You didn't check?
I mean, I was in a hurry. I checked to see if we had gas. That was more important.
That's Ghostbusters 2, Rafer Guzman. It's huge.
Now, I've got to correct you on this. This is a reboot, not a sequel. That's very important.
Did I say sequel?
It's very important what this movie is trying to do. They're trying to reinvent Ghostbusters. Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones. Whole new Ghostbusters, whole new plot. However, the problem is that they keep nodding back to the original so often. That car you're hearing about, same car. They try to rent the same space that the original Ghostbusters did. Same ghosts. We don't see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the climax, but it's a very similar looking ghost to that. And the problem is that keeps the movie from establishing its own identity. You keep wondering, well, what happened? Why is this movie taking place now when we feel like the original Ghostbusters already happened? They can never quite create their own universe, their own storyline, and it's a little disappointing to me.
And part of the danger with a movie like this is there is a danger of saying, oh, same old movie, but with women this time, it seems like they could have done more.
And it's not enough. And I don't want to be one of the many women haters that have started the backlash against this movie, but I just don't think these characters work. The jokes don't quite land, and it just doesn't feel like its own movie.
All right. Now, lastly, the Infiltrator. Bryan Cranston was here on The Takeaway earlier this week talking about his new film.
We need you to fix this for us.
How am I going to fix this? You want me to call Senator Kerry? Hey, John, could you drop your investigation that the president has sanctioned? Because my friend Bob's getting really upset.
Bryan Cranston, John Leguizamo's in this way. U.S. Customs official uncovers a big money laundering scheme.
Yeah, real story. Bryan Cranston plays Bob Mazur, who goes undercover to try to take down Pablo Escobar's drug trafficking ring. Interestingly, he goes after the bank to try to stop the money, and that's an interesting part of this. This is great counter-programming for the summer. Smart, well-thought-out adult drama, great cast. Bryan Cranston, Diane Kruger, Benjamin Bratt plays one of the Escobar's lieutenants. It works really well, and I like this as an old-fashioned, solid procedural. A lot of fun.
This is a Bryan Cranston performance that measures up to all the other great ones, Breaking Bad, but also All the Way on HBO where he plays LBJ.
You know what? He's great. He's a disappearing actor. That's what I love about him. He disappears in these roles, and he does that here. He's wonderful at it.
That's The Infiltrator, Rafer Guzman, film critic from Newsday, bringing us up to date on the new Ghostbusters, on Cafe Society, the new one, a period piece from Woody Allen, and of course, The Infiltrator starring Bryan Cranston. Three films that you can check out this weekend. Rafer Guzman, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Todd.
We'll be right back.